Hello everyone, welcome to the Indian Cycling Podcast brought to you by the Bike Affair. We will be talking about the National Road Cycling Championships that took place last week.
Hi listeners, this is Gokul here, your co-host, and we have Parshuram Chenji, who's a friend of the podcast, coming back, and he participated in the nationals, and he was the state champion from Telangana, and he will give his unique perspective about the events. Welcome to the show, Parshuram.
Thanks Gokul and Harsha. Really happy to be here, as always. Last time was an absolute pleasure, and I'm looking forward to having a good podcast experience with you guys again.
So, Parshu, this is effectively the first national level road cycling event to take place since 2019. Tell us about where it took place and the event itself.
So this every year nationals has a different venue. This year it was hosted by Mumbai, the Cycling Association of Maharashtra. So it was outside Mumbai in this place called Panvel. There's a really long flyover there, which has got ups and downs. So it's a nice rolling course. So they demarcated a five kilometer stretch on that flyover. It's a four lane flyover. It's an eight lane flyover. Sorry, four lanes on either side. And they took 5 kilometers over there and have made a nice big 10 kilometer loop over which all of the events were hosted. So road wise, it was a really good quality road with decent U-turns. If there was anything that was lacking, I would say it lacked a slight technical element. You know, there's no cornering or anything of that sort. There's just two U-turns. But great road quality, great road surface, and good road to be racing on.
Cool. So what were the main events and the main age groups and gender groups of which constituted this nationals?
Well, every nationals is very similar in its format. There's an under 14, under 16. Oh wait, I don't think there's an under 14. There's an under 16, under 18, under 23, and elite. And this is for men and women both. Each age group has an individual time trial and a mass start for sure. And the under 18 age group has a team time trial as well, and the elite age group has a team time trial as well. And the elite age group has a criterium race as well. So basically for the elites, there are four events: the individual time trial, team time trial, mass start, and the criterium.
Cool. And there is also a Indian cycling, that is Indian cycles mass start race also, right?
Yes, very true. There's one special standout event, I would say, is the Indian made cycling race, in which people are only allowed to use Indian-made cycles with no foreign components on it. So you'll find people racing on Hero Hawks with no cleats and no gears and all of that. So it's a really interesting race to watch. It's like, if I'm not wrong, about 20 kilometers long. And you find guys from every state, people who kind of maybe cycle for a livelihood, who are really strong, but they've never invested in a good cycle and good kit and equipment for themselves, but these guys are brilliant. Fun story about this: in my first year of cycle racing, I went to Kashmir. There was a stage race called the Tour de Kashmir over there. So it was 6 days of racing, in which 5 days was a lot of hill climbs. The main contenders at that race obviously had all of their, nice swaggy race bikes and all of that. But there were also so many, I think at least 10 riders at that race who were riding single speed Hero Hawks in the mountains of Kashmir. And every day, after every stage, I would finish my stage, and within 5 to 10 minutes of my finish, these guys are coming, lining up to the finish. So I noticed how strong these guys are riding uphill on a single speed Hero Hawk. And needless to say, Jammu and Kashmir is a state which has over the past 5 years since I've been involved in road cycling, I think they've won at least, they won two gold medals in the Indian made cycling race for sure, including this year's. And they might have won a few more as well in the past few years. I didn't, you know, keep track of it. But yeah, they've got some really, really strong legs in there.
Mm. Oh, nice. That is really nice to hear. Yeah, in fact, it's very interesting. Again, this morning, I was having a conversation with one of the cyclists and we were talking about his trip to Labbasinghe. So a couple of years ago, we had a tour organized by the Biker Fair to Eastern Ghats, and wherein we climbed Labbasinghe, which is the coldest place in South India. And that day, what happened was one of the riders' rear derailleur and hanger broke, and so we both were the same height. So we had a spare single speed in the bicycle. So because I had ridden single speeds for a long time, I took up the single speed and I gave my road bike to this rider. And very interestingly, actually, I had a fantastic tour, including that Labbasinghe climb. So at the end of the day, you just need the right gear. It doesn't matter if it is the only gear. So,
so true.
Pashu, tell us about the main events and the usual suspects who won them.
Well, I go to nationals with, I mean, ever since I've been racing at the national level, I was an under 23 rider in the first year and now I'm an elite rider. So for me, for somebody like me, the main events are always the under 23 and elite events. And even in these events, I mean, the individual time trial is definitely it's like a milestone. It's like the fastest rider from India is decided from this event. So it's a very important race. And as always, we have our two champions, Naveen John and Arvind Tanwar, both of them vying for that title, along with this time we had Manjeet from the services. We had this guy called Harshveer from Punjab. Very interesting story, his. We'll probably get to that later. So yeah, the individual time trial was taken again for the sixth time by Naveen John. He won by a margin of 5 seconds over Manjeet from the services, but that 5 seconds. So he got 2 30-second time penalties for some reason. And yeah, that despite that 1 minute which he lost in time penalties, he still won the gold in this event, which sort of clearly says that he is still India's top time trialist. He's got the strongest legs, the best position, and his experience and race knowledge and pure heart. I feel like, however good you may be at a time trial, if you don't go out there and give it your 100%, you're not going to win. So he definitely knows the formula on how to give your maximum on race day. And yeah, he took his sixth national title. So big kudos to him for that. Apart from that, then yeah, we got Manjeet in second place from the services. Manjeet has always, I mean, ever since I've been following the sport, he's been coming in third behind both Naveen and Arvind. So second place, just 5 seconds away from the podium, from the top step for him is a big result. It shows that he has not let go of his training despite the lockdown and all of that, which is very good to see, you know, because when you see racers who are employed with the services or the railways or anything like that, it's very easy for them to get complacent when there's no racing going on. But it's very nice to see that there are people who train through these phases as well, which goes to say that, you know, it's cycle racing is an integral part of their life, something that they don't want to let go of. So good. I'm very happy with his result. Third place went to Harshveer from Punjab, which is a surprise to me because I've never heard this guy's name before. Harshveer happens to be an ex-national champion for roller skating, road skating as well, or rollerblading. I don't know what it's called, roller skating, rollerblading, whatever it is. He happens to be an ex-national champion in that sport as well. And definitely, it seems to me that he has taken all the fitness and strength that he gained from that sport and put it onto his bicycle, and he is so impressive, it is not even funny. So despite, I mean, apart from his bronze medal in the ITT, Harshvir also managed to win the gold medal in the criterium race by a long shot. So I was part of this criterium race as well. And I haven't been training much, so I was relatively unfit. I didn't expect any results from this. I was just there to enjoy the races. And while I was sitting in the criterium and breathing hard and holding on for dear life, hoping that I wouldn't get dropped from the race, I noticed that our bunch of riders were moving so fast, but at the same time, there was a solo breakaway on the other side of the road. So every U-turn, I would see this guy in his blue skin suit chugging away with two motorcycles surrounding him. And I learned that this guy is Harshvir from Punjab. So for a guy to hold off an entire peloton for 5 laps out of 7 laps, for 5 laps is what, 7 kilometers into five, for 35 kilometers. 35 kilometers, this guy went solo, won the first place in every sprint lap, got 5 points, started. I mean, yeah, he was untouchable at the end of the race. So super, super impressive performance by him. I think he won the best cyclist of the championships award as well. So yeah, big, big shout out to him and to whatever solid training he's been on, and how he's sort of adapted muscle groups from two different sports to make him a solid athlete over both sports is very commendable.
How old is Harshvir Parshu?
I'm not very sure, but I'm pretty sure he's younger than I am, so maybe less than 27 years old.
Okay, because that is a very interesting point, right? If I'm not wrong, Manjeet is almost 40, right? And NJ is also above 35.
Manjeet, I don't think he's almost 40. I think he's above 30, definitely. But yeah, no, not close to 40 for sure.
Okay. So it's do you see a change of guard coming forward in the next nationals and all?
It really depends. It's a good question. And if somebody like Harshvir is if he decides to dedicate his efforts towards becoming the best version of himself as a cyclist, then there's no touching him. There's no touching. I don't see anyone who is at that level yet. So yeah, I don't know if this was 100% cycling focused training plan for him. If it turns out to be for the next few years, then yes, I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the medals at every national championships.
Very interesting. Very good. I think, but this is kind of a very interesting phase which is happening in cycling across the world, right? The standout rider of last year was Primoz Roglic, who is also a junior downhill ski champion who had a bad crash and then had to move sports. Like the likes of Mathieu van der Poel and Wout van Aert, you know, completing their cyclocross championships, fighting with each other to win be the world champion, and coming across 2 weeks later and winning all the classics amongst themselves. It seems to be just the same thing happening all across the world. You know, the same thing seems to be happening in India as well with people like Harshvir coming in from other sports and other disciplines and doing good in road cycling as well.
Very true. Another standout performance from this year's national championships was the gold medal winner in the under 23 road race. This is a rider that I've had the pleasure of racing alongside at multiple events. Surya Thatu, he's from Maharashtra. Mm-hmm. He has always been very close to the medals at every race that he goes to. And this year he managed to bag the gold at the under 23 race. And immediately after the under 23 road race, he within I think an hour of that race was the elite criterium. So he took part in that race as well, made a mark in that race as well. So super strong guy. And what's interesting to know here is that he also is an ex-national champion for roller skating.
Okay.
Yes. So here, I mean, there's definitely a trend. I honestly believe that cycling definitely is one of the toughest sports to compete in. But at the same time, it's very, the strength that is required for cycling is very focused on certain muscle groups, while certain muscle groups are completely avoided. So it's gone on to make me think that when you cross train with different sports, you're targeting so many muscle groups which might be avoided when you train solely for cycling. So you're building strength in areas that for somebody who trains just as a cyclist, he might be lacking in that, in strength in those areas. So I have come to believe very strongly that cross training in many different forms, in any different form, is bound to help you improve as a rider. It's happened to me as well. In fact, when I decided to start playing more football, this was, I think, 4 years into my cycling career, when I was solely primarily just cycling, and I didn't, you know, take part in any other sport. But when my colony team of footballers, have been playing football with them since forever, when we restarted playing football together and I started playing with them, within 1 or 2 months of football, I myself noticed this, and people around me, people who rode with me and people who saw me ride and race, also noticed this. My form on the bike was so much, it improved so much. I felt more confident, I felt more comfortable on the bike, and I felt like I was able to generate more speed at better efforts, at easier efforts. And I did a fair amount of racing during that time within Hyderabad, at our local Hyderabad racing circuit races. And I have, like, I'm not even sure, I have at least 3 or 4 gold medals to show from that time. So I'm sure that the cross training that I got from that has helped me a lot in my cycling.
Yeah, I mean, you are bang on the target, Parshu, because the latest research and the latest trend, if at all, is pointing the same direction that people are talking about late specialization for youngsters and doing a more generic training across multiple sports to develop muscles which are not used in one sport, which could help in the other sport. And it has got a lot of benefits. Like, for example, there was an interesting take in a couple of days ago when I was listening to the one of the stages of Parini. They were talking about comparing people like Peter Sagan and a few others who are more traditional road cyclists, and we're talking about how the fact that people who have this mountain biking and cyclocross background have better bike handling skills, which allows them to crash less often, and as a result they are more successful, because if they can avoid a crash and save a season, that is giving them so much more time. So as against Geraint Thomas, who seems to have multiple crashes. Of course, Geraint Thomas also has got a track background, which also helps, but still a lot of people from mountain biking and cyclocross have good bike handling skills, which helps them to have a better core and stability, which is less talked about, and which helps them in putting themselves in better position for sprints and avoiding crashes. So even within the cycling discipline, multiple sports can help, and it can be even more when we do a completely different sport like football or skating and stuff like that.
Very true, very true. And what you've mentioned is about Geraint Thomas is definitely true, because you can see with him that his strength is quite unidimensional. He's the kind of guy that can time trial well, and that can put a solid, I don't know, 4-minute, 5-minute effort towards the end of the race to try and break away and go for the solo win. But yes, when you notice him riding as opposed to somebody like a Peter Sagan or a Mathieu van der Poel riding. There is a lot of difference between their form on the bike. And there's a funny story about Geraint Thomas as well, where his wife posted something saying that, you know, oh, this guy can go out for and ride his bike for 200 kilometers. But when I ask him to put the clothes in the washing machine, he says, oh, no, my back is paining.
Good one. Yeah, I think
these are the little things. These are the little things that I faced myself when I was solely focused on road racing. I also had slight small back issues in my lower back, in my upper back, my neck, and stuff like that. Which I believe that if you are training over multiple sports or multiple disciplines, you probably will avoid, because you're gaining strength in so many different muscle groups in your body.
True. I am almost like a partly converted runner nowadays because of my injuries. So while I've been doing a lot of research and reading, one of the very interesting things that I have realized and been focusing on is stability for on how it helps running. And very interestingly, one of the very key aspects we talk about is the concept of toe yoga. And I was surprised to see that toeing is very important because in running, because you are able to pivot on your big toe, and then that helps in the push off. And one of the exercises that is suggested for improving that is to control moving the big toe and the other toe separately. And I was shocked to see that I couldn't do that the first few days. And very interestingly, I was taking my dad. He had some neuro issues and he also could not do. So I was thinking I am no better than him. Even though I don't have any neuro issues, I was not able to move my big toe independent of the small toes. And then it took me about a week to get that going. It was not that tough. But initially, when I read that, it looked silly. But I couldn't do that. I think there are so many other aspects which we learn not automatically by other sports and other disciplines, which help in the stability on the bike, bike handling, and, you know, the explosiveness and so on.
It's funny because, I mean, you mentioned it, and I'm obviously trying to, probably even our listeners are trying to move their big toe individually now. It's not easy. Like, there's a reflex movement of all the other toes as well.
Yeah. But you will get there. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm trying it right now.
Let's move back from the toes to the point here. So there has been a big long gap in the races and so on, and people might have had a more independent time or different approaches to training. So did you see or did you hear any stories of how people train differently, and did you see any significant results coming out of that different training, Parshu?
To be very honest, no. I made a conscious decision to give up training professionally for cycle races because I've begun a career in football coaching and I play a lot of football as well. So somehow I've gotten slightly disconnected from the cycling community, and I don't follow people and their training regimens so seriously anymore. So no, I have not really seen how people's training schedules have differed. But I can say this much: I believe very strongly that when you train solo, there's only so much training that you can get. But when you train in a group of cyclists, then the training benefit, I believe, is much higher. You get fitter, you get faster, and you also learn bunch riding skills, which is essential in this sport. And regarding the question about whether whether it was the race faster or slower or more aggressive, or were they different, how did the lockdown affect the racing? Again, I don't know if I'm the right person to answer this question, because I haven't really raced at the national level in the past. In 2018, I had a fractured wrist, so I couldn't race. 2019, I was just out of operation for my knee, so I couldn't race. And this is my first nationals after those 2 years. So I, and also I'm much, I was much fitter when I last raced in 2017 because I was training very seriously for it. This time I went on literally next to nothing, zero training almost. I just went because I happened to win state championships and I felt like, oh, you know, I should go. It doesn't feel right to not go for nationals. So it was very tough for me, definitely, but I strongly believe that if I was in good shape, then I would easily, or maybe not easily, but I would definitely be in contention for a few medals here, which goes to say that maybe the level has not increased as much as it could have in 2 years.
Okay. Very interesting, because I think some, internationally probably it has got faster, or at least it has re-emphasized on the youngsters, I believe, because last year's international season was so condensed and recovery was so important. So I felt that there was a slight gradual movement towards youngsters who could recover a little faster given the aggressive racing schedules. So but in India, I guess that is not true because we have not had any races. So the question of people being tired in between races has come.
Yeah, and in India, we don't have any back-to-back races as well. We don't have any stage races. Nationals is back-to-back in its own way because you're condensing so much racing into 4 days of action. So somebody like Naveen John had to race the time trial on day one, the team time trial on day two, and the road race on day three. And he was very capable of doing all three races. I didn't see much fatigue in him or anything of that sort. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a really good point as to why the young cyclists might be doing so well in the pro peloton, is because old people take longer to recover, as I'm learning with my growing age.
Good. So, but of course, I think this may have an impact on the track nationals, because track nationals is happening the same calendar month later this month in Hyderabad. And there is a lot of overlap for people who rode the road nationals who come on to track. So I think that it may have an impact there, at least in terms of their training and peaking schedules. They may have had to do a lot of juggling there.
So there are a few cyclists who do only track events, and there are a few cyclists who do only road events, and there are a few cyclists who do both. So the ones that do only track, they skipped road nationals and they continue to train for their track events. While the ones that do both road and track, I met quite a few of them at road nationals, and they were all moving back to Hyderabad, where track nationals is going to happen this year. So they all traveled back to Hyderabad with me. So for them, I honestly believe that, yeah, overlapping of schedules and all, yes, that's one way to look at it, but I don't think they see it in the same way. They see it as two completely different events, and they train for the road nationals in whatever way they normally do. And now that road nationals is done, they're back in Hyderabad. They know that they've got X number of days between now and track nationals. So, they use road nationals to build more of an endurance sort of fitness. And now their focus is solely on their track speed. So they can do shorter workouts that just to build that top end of power and speed and all. And they don't complain. I haven't heard of a single complaint from any one of them. They're all happy to be racing when they're already fit from road nationals to be transferring that fitness onto the track. I think they're happy.
Yeah, true. I mean, we should... The bottom line is we should be happy these events are happening. So,
very true.
I think this Road Nationals hopefully is one of the precursors to life back to normalcy in the Indian racing circuit also. And as usual, Parshu, really exciting to hear your views. And you always, I have always believed that you are one of the best thinkers in the racing circuit, and so good to hear your thoughts and perspectives on the events and the race results. Thank you for sharing your perspectives in the podcast for sure.
Thank you for having me here. It's been a pleasure as always. And yeah, I love sharing my thoughts when I don't know. I like talking, I guess. So I'm happy to be here.
Okay. Cool. Thanks, Parshu. That was a great podcast. So thanks, guys. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.